Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eagers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eagers.com.
Well, I think that would come up appropriately next Tuesday. And that's when the vote would occur.
We all have to denounce any further meddling in our elections. Americans should decide American elections.
That's why we have to fight climate change with such urgency.
It's called Trump derangement syndrome. It really is.
Why does a Jeff Rorta exist?
We're not criticizing her because she's the first. We're criticizing her because she's the worst.
Thank you. Well done, Tricia Siegman.
Thanks.
And good Wednesday morning to you, everybody.
Happy Wednesday.
Why does a Jeff Rorta even exist?
Even exist. Wow, why? That's a loaded question.
Interesting for a Democrat to ask why a union has a business manager. That's effectively the question that she's asking there.
Mm-hmm. She does not like him.
No.
What do you blame? He's called her out on her crap is why she doesn't like him.
But a lot of people have.
No kidding. This is such a disaster. I don't even know where to begin with this whole story. There's so many moving parts of just craziness.
Oh, you're so right.
Kudos to my friend Rachel Zimmerman on the DGS. I've been listening to them yesterday when I was running some errands, and She pointed out something that I referred to yesterday morning, in that I look up and there's a CBS News program that they sent a news reporter, Jeff Pegues, all the way from New York City. They jetted him down here because of the groundbreaking story that our circuit attorney is so bridled by the racists in her city in that she's had to go to federal court and sue them for racial discrimination, for targeting her because of her race. And they rushed Jeff Pegues down here, and here's the story that the rest of America heard yesterday. Jeff Pegues apparently didn't go to, and Rachel pointed this out. Jeff Pegues, as any reporter might do, you call people who aren't directly involved in the story, and you want to get a feel for, is this really what's going on? That's not a question CBS News asked yesterday. They took her false allegations at face value and did a report that the rest of the nation devoured as the truth, that this poor woman is simply trying to reform criminal justice, and the horrible white racists in this city are targeting her because of the color of her skin. She can't get anything done.
So he didn't call anyone and ask, how is this woman doing her job?
He didn't report it. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, you know, I was a reporter for many years at Channel 4. If somebody called me up and made an outrageous allegation against some sort of bias in their city,
you don't just run
out and report based on that one person's allegation. Mm-hmm. You call a few other people. I mean, what does the president of the Board of Aldermen think about this? What does the mayor think about this? What do other people who are her counterparts think about this? If they had asked that question to anybody, CBS would have said, this is her point of view. But in reality, she's probably the most ineffective circuit attorney the city of St. Louis has ever had because of incompetence and not because of some, underlying conspiracy to take her out of office. somebody would have told him that. They had no interest in that side of the story.
She simply bad at her job, but they hear the word racism and they just don't ask any questions, just fly into St. Louis because we've heard that term in St. Louis before, so it must be right.
It's the same reason they included the Ferguson deal in there. Because you hear racism, you hear St. Louis, and they're like, that's the story.
Right.
And they wrote the story before they even spoke to anybody.
I guarantee you're right.
Yeah.
Had they even read the article in the Post-Dispatch of all places, they would have known that...
There's questions.
There's a lot of questions from a lot of people, including the mayor, including the Police Officers Association.
And then you take a look at who she surrounded herself with yesterday afternoon for this rally or whatever happened, and you're like, something doesn't look right here. Like, all of these people kind of have a little something in common.
Yeah.
Not doing their jobs really well.
Yeah.
Well, you just have to look at the areas they come from. And I'm going to, in fact, I've got
I would have asked those people to not come.
I've got some statistics here for you coming up just a little later on that very issue. I'm so glad you brought that up. Because, again, I didn't see the local media go out and approach it from this point of view. Okay, you got eight circuit attorneys from around the country to come and support you. What do their communities look like?
Mm-hmm.
What have they done to impact the crime rate in their communities? And you'll be a little surprised by what I'm going to point out here.
And did any of the stories touch on what Gardner is involved in right now, and that she's supposed to be giving a deposition today, and what that's about? I mean, there's lots of levels to the story of what the issues are with Kim Gardner.
A couple of the local media did. Chris Hayes over Channel 2 was reporting on her deposition, and several people said that she's likely firing shots today because she has to give a deposition tomorrow, and she's trying to distract from that. Because she's, in a deposition, going to have to stand up and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And then they can ask her whatever she wants, at which point she risks perjury if she lies about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, Michael Flynn withdrew his guilty plea yesterday.
Yes, saw
that.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, I mean, he was a victim of a process crime. No doubt about that. And it'll be anxious to see how that goes. I can't wait to read more on that. I had a great time last night. Had a little bit of bourbon. Trisha painted early in the day, and we sat and watched the paint dry on her walls.
I thought about you while I was having a glass of my rich and spicy wine that you gave me.
Nice.
It was delightful, and I was actually watching paint dry. I painted a wall white, and I
thought you were
going to
give me the rundown
out
on the Democratic debate last night.
I did watch the debate. I'm just kidding, but it was more painful than watching paint dry. I mean, it was boring. It was boring. We'll talk about it this morning, but to hear all of the blow up yesterday was, what did Elizabeth Warren claim about Bernie Sanders? And he flat out asked Sanders, did you say this? And he said no. And they turned right to Sanders and said, Senator Sanders, what's your reaction to Senator Sanders saying a woman couldn't be president? He had just denied that he said it. And they accepted her statement as truth and said, what's your reaction to Senator Sanders saying that a woman can't be president? He just said, I didn't say that. It was ridiculous to watch last night. We'll get into more of it coming up here, I promise.
In 2018, you told her that you did not believe that a woman could win the election. Why did you say that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't say it. And I don't want to waste a whole lot of time on this because this is what Donald Trump and maybe some of the media want.
I didn't say it. Go back 30 years. I said a woman could easily be president of the United States.
So he flat out says that he did not say that. And that the evidence of it is that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote in the last election. So it's clear that a woman could be elected president. So they go to Warren right after that, and they ask her to challenge him on that. You know, Senator Warren, you're the one who said that Bernie Sanders claimed a woman couldn't be elected president. She refused to answer the question. Which I believe means she's lying. I think she lied to stir up the pot, to anger progressive left women in this country against Bernie Sanders, to try to scratch away at his lead over her. That's the only thing I can figure. because she should have turned and looked at him and said, Bernie, you know you told me a woman couldn't be elected president. She didn't say that to him. She completely diffused that question and distracted from it and went on to make some comment about how the men on this stage have lost a total of 10 elections and the women haven't lost any. She and Amy Klobuchar claim that's the reason they claim that's the reason they can beat Donald Trump, because neither of them have ever lost an election. That's her argument for why, of the people on the stage, why she thinks she can be president of the United States and beat Donald Trump in election. Do you think, I mean, I know they have to say that because they're running and they can't admit to any weakness. He defeated not only 16 other Republicans who were almost all of them at the beginning favored over him, mm-hmm. if you went to odds makers, then went on to defeat Hillary Clinton in a landslide, at least in the Electoral College. She somehow seems to think, I mean, let's put it this way. I hate almost everything Hillary Clinton stood for. But on most issues, Hillary Clinton was relatively moderate compared to Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Does she really think that she's going to go head-to-head with Donald Trump, who beat the tar out of Hillary Clinton in the Electoral College, and defeat him running to the left of Hillary Clinton? I think she's insane. I really do. I couldn't
help it. So she didn't say anything last night that changed your mind?
Oh, no. No.
And you last night was the night.
I know.
And you, well, no. Well, no, I mean, seriously, I get the humor there. I didn't think I was going to watch this and she was going to convince me, but the more I watched it, the more I thought they're all, you know, Biden didn't do anything last night. He stumbled, he bumbled, he tried to defend his record on sending troops into Iraq. He tries to apologize for it now, like, well, oh, yeah, I did that, but I've regretted it since then. Well, I'm sorry, you still did it.
No one asked him about the hair on his legs?
Nobody did, oddly
kids
enough.
Kids jumping on his
Wasn't
lap?
It weird? I don't know why. Huh. Nobody attacked Biden last night, really. He claimed that he wouldn't sign the North America, this new Canada-Mexico-U.S. trade agreement. And this Tom Steyer guy, how in the world he made it to the stage, I have no idea.
I'm so confused by this as well.
Listen to Cut 38. So my son, who's 21, my daughter, who's 24, and her husband are sitting in the room. This guy comes on the TV. Go ahead and hit it.
This is why climate is my number one priority. And I'm still shocked that I'm the only person on this stage who will say this. I would declare a state of emergency on day one on climate. I would do it from the standpoint of environmental justice and make sure we go to the black and brown communities where you can't breathe the air or drink the water that comes out of the tap safely.
Three people in the audience clapped. My son said,
huh?
Who the hell is this joker? Like, they had no idea who he was. And he's running commercials, like, hourly on all the networks. Nobody knows who he is. This is going to be a tidal wave victory by Donald Trump. You heard it here first.
A Colorado judge has said no to a request under Colorado's new red flag law to take away a man's guns. The judge denied a request from a woman in Lyman who claims she was threatened. CBS 4's Rick Salinger is live at the state capitol tonight. Rick.
Kathy, we've learned that there have been four requests to confiscate guns filed so far, two in Denver, one in Larimer County, the other in Lincoln County, which has now been denied.
Wow. Well, there's a little bit of progress. At least they denied one of them. How about that? We're going to talk more about this. This is what we've told you about with these red flag laws that are popping up all over the place. One place they're working on them right now as well is in Virginia. Let's get to our guest, please.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Our guest this morning, Cam Edwards, back with us, editor at BearingArms.com, and of course, Cam and Company and 40 Acres and a Fool. We love that. At Cam Edwards on Twitter. Cam, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, it's great to have you on again. You know, I'm watching with fascination what they're doing in Virginia, and I hope the country learns a lesson from this. But yesterday, the Senate Judiciary Committee passed a number of gun control bills that now move along in the process, and the governor there is encouraging all of this, and pretty much Democrats run the show, right?
That is right. Republicans lost control of the state legislature in last November's elections. Democrats are in charge of the executive and legislative branches in Virginia for the first time in 26 years. And they are doing their best to impose California-style, New York-style, New Jersey-style gun control laws on the populace here in Virginia.
So I'm trying to get to an idea of what they're working on. There's a universal background check bill. They want to limit the number of guns you can buy to once a month. There are red flag laws, and then firearms and ammunition can be controlled by localities. What does that even mean?
Right. So we have firearms preemption law in the state of Virginia, and that means the state legislature is the one body that determines the gun laws in the state.
Right.
Democrats want to undo that. They want to allow localities to set more restrictive policies to this particular bill would allow localities to ban firearms and ammunition from permitted events or events that should be permitted. So let's say you've got a concert taking place. Let's say you've got a parade downtown. The cities would be able to ban lawful gun possession in those areas, just as the Democrats, by the way, have already changed the rules at the state capitol and have made Virginia's capital a gun-free zone for the first time in decades.
Yeah. They brought these forth and voted on them. I know there are a lot of organized protests going on in Virginia.
There are thousands of gun owners who were on hand as these bills were voted on. We've got another lobby day that's coming up on January the 20th. And the expectation is that there are going to be tens of thousands of gun owners at the Capitol next Monday.
Well, I hope so. You know, one of the places I did a little research on this was a TV station out of Richmond, Virginia, and they put their own poll up asking for this. Do you support with a blank no gun laws, some gun law changes, or most of the gun law changes? The no's are overwhelming. Like 86% of the people in this particular community in Richmond who voted don't support any of these gun laws changes that they're making. Where's the support coming from?
I mean, the support is coming from, you know, Northern Virginia, Virginia Beach. It's coming from Democratic strongholds in the state. But there are plenty of gun owners, even in those deep blue areas of Virginia, that are opposed to these measures. And then when you get outside of the cities, when you get into the suburbs and the more rural parts of the state, I got to tell you, I mean, the opposition is near 100%. And while the Senate committee yesterday in Virginia approved four gun control measures, Governor Northam wants eight different gun control bills to become law. So the Senate Judiciary Committee did not handle everything yesterday, including what I think is going to be the most egregious bill that would ban so-called assault weapons. It would also ban magazines over 10 rounds, would ban legally owned suppressors. People who own these things right now would not be allowed to continue to possess these items unless they, there's one exception, unless they registered their so-called assault weapon with the state police. But the magazines that you own, the suppressors that you own, you would be a felon if you continue to possess these items that you possess today.
That's outrageous. It's they're building a registry so they know where you are if you do have them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, we had a bill that was killed yesterday. That was a quote-unquote assault weapons ban that did not have a grandfather clause. It didn't have registration. It was simply you could not continue to possess these guns. They scrapped that bill, and now they're proclaiming themselves to be, you know, listening to the concerns of gun owners by requiring them to register the guns that they said they wanted to confiscate. And gun owners in the state, you know, look, we're not idiots. We're not dumb. We know what's going on here, and there's going to be, I think, a clear rejection of these measures on the part of gun owners and Republican lawmakers.
Yeah.
I just, you know, unfortunately, it's not going to be enough.
Yeah, true. That's very true. And 90 localities in Virginia have already passed Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions. So at least they're letting their voices be heard. I don't know if you heard the piece I ran off the top there. It was a report from a CBS station in Denver where for the first time under their new red flag laws, a judge actually denied one of the requests. Red flag laws are also something they're trying to pass there in Virginia.
Absolutely. And, you know, you say it's nice that at least one of these was denied. According to the state of Colorado, they anticipate that 95% of these red flag orders are going to be approved. The bill that's been introduced in Virginia has a very low legal standard for the judge to approve an order. It denies due process rights for the subject of the order because 2 weeks can go by before they ever get their day in court after their firearms have been seized. And most importantly, this is being billed as some sort of mental health bill, some sort of way to, you know, help those that are in crisis. It does nothing to address mental health. In fact, the words mental health are found nowhere in the bill. This is a gun ban bill. This takes guns from people who are supposedly in crisis, but it leaves them with their pills, their knives, their gasoline, their car keys, their matches. Doesn't require any sort of mental health treatment. It's a gun control bill disguised as, you know, a mental health offering.
Wow. Well, all we can hope at this point is that the Supreme Court steps in and gives us a few more details on what it expects in terms of local gun control, right?
Absolutely. And the court did hear oral arguments in December with a challenge to a New York City gun law. We've not heard anything from the court yet, and we probably won't for another few months.
Right.
If the court decides that they're going to hear this case or accept this case, there's a chance that the court could actually declare that case to be moot because New York City tried to change the law after the Supreme Court agreed to review it. But the court has a number of other Second Amendment cases that are queued up in conference ready to go. So I do expect that sooner rather than later, we will hear the court weigh in. As a Virginia gun owner, I have to say, the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Amen. Amen. Cam Edwards, thank you for your information on this. I want to try to keep people as informed as possible as to what's going on. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for your interest.
Yes, sir. Cam Edwards there. BearingArms.com is the website. He's the editor there for many years, the host of NRA News, Cam and Company, and 40 Acres and a Fool. How about that? At Cam Edwards on Twitter.
So understand, Kim Gardner will not be stopped. We will not be stopped.
Gee, I wonder if it won't be stopped like your prosecution of the people who you accused of killing Freddie Gray up in Baltimore. Remember that? Mm-hmm. That was Marilyn Mosby, the state's attorney from Baltimore, the circuit attorney, the prosecutor, whatever her title is. State's attorney, I think. I mean, you talk about insulting the way she handled that case, accused all those police, overcharged them because of her. She was supporting the outrage in the community, not the facts, but she was prosecuting based on the outrage of the people who voted for her. That's called mob rule. That's not how our criminal justice system works, Miss Mosby. And it's also a lesson Kim Gardner refuses to learn. Let me tell you something. I want to point something out to you for all of you who only watched local news coverage of what happened here on the steps of the courthouse yesterday. When Kim Gardner gathered together a half dozen female prosecutors from around the country to support her in her allegations that she's only being opposed because of some underlying racism in the white establishment in St. Louis. This is her allegation. Go to cut number 48 for me, please.
At this point, the people are saying enough is enough. And I am a representative of the people. And my job is to make sure everyone enjoys equal justice under the laws.
No, your job is to enforce the law, not to pick and choose. So I want to read something to you. Do you think you know who was here yesterday? This is how the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is the story that I printed off here. And I know Joel Courier. And I have to wonder if Joel Courier or one of his editors wrote it this way. So they pointed out who showed up yesterday with a picture of them on the front of the article, right? Here it is. Let me read this to you. Marilyn Mosby. They quoted Marilyn Mosby, the Baltimore state's attorney. Everybody knows where Baltimore is, right? In addition to Mosby, the prosecutors who traveled to support Gardner were Diana Becton from Contra Costa County in California. Know where that is?
Nope.
Aisha Braveboy from Prince George's County, Maryland. Know where that is? Stephanie Morales from Portsmouth, Virginia. Aramis Ayala from the Orlando, Florida area. And Rachel Rollins from Suffolk County, Massachusetts. They all came here to rally against what they view as efforts by police, the courts, and the legal community to resist Gardner's agenda. Now, let me read you how that article should have read, right? Marilyn Mosby from Baltimore, Maryland, which of course has one of the highest homicide rates in the United States of U.S. big cities from 2018, the last statistics that are out. They have averaged more than 300 homicides a year for the last 4 years in Baltimore. Marilyn Mosby, criminal justice warrior. Diana Becton is not the Contra Costa County, California prosecutor. She's the prosecutor for Oakland, California. Why not mention the city, St. Louis Post-Dispatch? It's only the eighth largest city in California, but it ranks number two in violent crime in all of the state of California. 68 violent crimes per 1,000 people. If you live in Oakland, California, you have a 1 in 7 chance of being a violent crime victim this year. Think about that. Who is Aisha Braveboy from Prince George's County, Maryland? Sounds like a lovely area. Aisha Braveboy is the county prize, the prosecutor for the suburb of Washington, D.C. that happens to be in Maryland. The crime rate in her district is 17% higher than the national average. Stephanie Morales is the prosecutor from Portsmouth, Virginia. Boy, that sounds like a pretty vanilla city, right? The violent crime rate in Portsmouth, Virginia is 297% higher than the average Virginia city. Almost 300% higher in crime rates. We know about Marilyn Mosby. Let me get to Rachel Rawlings. She's from gentle Suffolk County, Massachusetts. Why not mention that that's actually Boston, Massachusetts? Why don't we mention that in the Post-Dispatch article? The crime rate is higher than 97% of the other cities in Massachusetts. And here's what Rachel Rollins is known for. This is something to brag about, Kim Gardner. When she got elected to office on her criminal justice reform program, she immediately named 15 low-level offenses she would no longer prosecute. So the Boston Globe went back after she was in office for a year, and what they determined was they weren't all low-level cases. They included serious bodily injury, major theft crimes, and career criminals who were let off the hook by Rachel Rollins. Because the criminal justice platform in America is not about changing the criminal justice system. It's about ignoring the laws that you don't like and letting your criminal constituents off the hook. Just so you know, in Boston, they almost beat us last year. 2,027 violent crime victims per 100,000 residents. St. Louis beat them slightly. We had 2,082 violent crimes per 100,000 residents. These are the women who came out to defend Kim Gardner's pathetic record as the circuit attorney in the city of St. Louis. It's no wonder she hates Jeff Rorta, because he points this stuff out too. I'm probably on her list now as well. We're going to have Jeff Rorta on the program tomorrow to let him talk about Kim Gardner and what's going on with this lawsuit.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.